All right, so Bianca has set the standard here really high, so I hope to live up to the expectation. I'm going to talk to you today about failure trends in a large disk-derived population. This is work I've been doing with Wolf Weber and Luis Barroso at Google. So we all know that disk drives are everywhere. They're pretty widespread. Just look around you and you see a bunch of them. And they're spreading. A report shows that 90% of new information in the world will be stored on magnetic media. Most of them are on hard drives. And yet the world is going digital. And Google has already gone digital. We care about storage for the obvious reasons. We have services that rely on storage. And disk drives happen to be our main form of storage these days. And in a sense, Google's like a gigantic storage system. And we know that the disk drives are pretty reliable, but when they fail, we notice these things. And in fact, you just saw Bianca talk to you about disk drives being one of the significant fraction of hardware failures, and our experience is not much different, right? We confirmed that. This is one of our burnt drives that we took out of one of our machines. And what do we know about failures? Well, there's little published, as Bianca told you before. Manufacturers will give you a single number that glosses over the internals of the black box. And they also might not be given all the information, but they probably don't know all the details because they can't study their disk drives for years before they market them. They have to sell these things, right? And it's unclear what the usage patterns are for their studies. They have to use extrapolated metrics and accelerated studies, so it's a little unclear. Previous studies were small in scale, or they had limited depth of the data they collected. And here they are, the related work. You just saw Bianca give a talk. John Ellerath and Shah from NetApp have studied disk drive vintages and their failure modes, Internet Archive paper, a Microsoft technical report, the manufacturers themselves, Seagate with a white paper, and some people at UCSD have done a lot of study on predicting failures using machine learning. And why are we doing this? Why is it important to study failures? I told you that these drives don't fail that often, but you know, turns out that there are benefits in studying failures. For example, if we can predict failures, we can take preemptive action ahead of time. For example, we could move data before the failure happens, and then we can avoid costly repairs. And also, we could mask these failures, divert traffic away from bad disks, and then keep the users happy. And also, we can buy replacements ahead of time. Turns out that replacement is a pretty challenging proposition, even without failures. So with failures, this gets increasingly hard. Diagnostics. We can understand why my application is bad. Is it because of the code, or is it because of the disk? Right? What's going on? Can we understand these things better? And overall, we could improve fault tolerance if we knew exactly what goes on inside the box. So but what's the common wisdom out there? What's generally believed in the literature and common sense in general? Well, it's typically believed that disk drive failure rates are under 1%. This comes from the fact that data sheets will tell you, a million hours or so. And it's also believed that temperature is a very harsh effect on disk drives. So the higher the temperature, the more likely the drive is to fail, right? And utilization. The more you pound on the drive, the more likely it's going to break, right? So these are things out there. But we, because of the sheer number of disk drives that we have, we are in a very good position to analyze this and see how true these things are and how they play out in the field. So we developed this project called the System Health, and this is how it works. So on all the machines in production, in our production system, we have little daemons running that export information such as temperatures, utilization, and voltages and all that sort of stuff. And from time to time, we collect that information, right? We also collect from other databases In particular, we collect from a failure database, the inventory, which drives go in and which drives go out and for what reasons. And then we store this in a storage layer indefinitely. And then offline, we analyze all this data. So here's exactly what we have. We have 5 years from our inventory database, 5 years of failure data. And we have, at the time, we had 9 months of detailed signals from the disk drives, so things like temperature and all other sorts of signals that I'll talk in details later. And also, our population was, for this study, was 100,000 drives. And we buy drives as we need them, so our population changes over time. We source from different manufacturers, different models, as we need. So we'll see different vintages in our study. And here, I should say that you see some effects of vintage effects, basically, because vintages really explains a lot of failures. If you know exactly the model and the manufacturer, you see, you know exactly what the chances are for failures, right? But so you see that in some of the graphs. But all the graphs that I'm going to show you, the main results apply across the whole population. And the reason for that is that we care about disk drives, not specific models or specific vendors, right? So I'm only going to show you the results that apply across the board. And our definition of failure is this. A disk drive was replaced during a repairs process. So we figured we need to replace a drive because the machine is broken in some sense, so we replace it. So here's the first graph that I want to show you. And this shows the average failure rate in percentage for disk drives of these ages here, from 1 year to 5 years. And we also break down 3 months and 6 months. And the 1 year box there contains 3 months and 6 months, so it stands on itself. This comes from our 5 year failure data, our database of failures. And the main point here is not to show you that, oh, after drives turn 2 years old, they start to fail more. This has to do with the vintage effect that I told you about. The point of this graph here is just to show you that at no point in time is our failure rate below that 1% that's claimed, right? In fact, it's a lot different. And why is that? Well, we started to look into these things. And, well, let's look at temperature, for example. People believe that this is a good explanation. This is what our temperature distribution looks like. So here's the temperature in degrees Celsius, and this is the distribution. Here's the probability density. And then we annotated the failures for each bucket. This is the average temperature for the drive for during that nine-month period that we studied them. Here you see that as the temperature increases, the failure rate does not increase, right? It certainly doesn't double every 15 degrees as some other, as the manufacturers tell us, right? In fact, you see that it's the opposite here, but this is also, don't take this literally because this has to do with vintage effect. Our newer drives are bigger, more powerful. They consume more power. They dissipate more heat. And they also turn out to be more reliable. So these are effects of older drives running a little cooler but being less reliable. But the main point here is that we're not saying that temperature doesn't affect failures. We're saying that for the temperature we studied, this temperature does not seem to be a strong indicator of failures. And this is really surprising, right? Another thing that was really surprising to us was utilization. So we decided to look at utilization normalized per model because different models have different performance characteristics. And we looked at the read and write bandwidth normalized per model. And here's also the age of the drive and the failure rate for low utilization, medium, and high. Right? And what we see here is that things are not exactly clear. We were hoping to see that higher utilization would always show higher failure rates. But there's a kind of a mix there. If we look at individual models, we also don't see a clear pattern, right? Some models will fail more with high utilization than others, but overall, it's not clear how these things play out. So here, again, we are not saying that utilization does not affect. It actually might affect, but it's not the strongest effect going on in a disk drive, in the disk drive life. So what's next? What else can we look at? Well, there are some things at, such as the self-reporting data that comes with hard drives, the SMART. And these things are intended to be used for early detection of problems. Things such as bad media surface and bad server components, electronic failures, and so on. And so we looked at all the SMART data reported by our drives. And the first one we looked at was scan errors. So scan errors, the definition varies a little bit according to the manufacturers, but they all end up being something to do with a sector cannot be couldn't be read and have to be retried or error corrected in some way. And then we looked also, depending on the drive age, drives without scan errors and drives with scan errors. And it was pretty obvious that drives with scan errors fail a lot more. They're more likely to fail. In fact, on average, they're 10 times more likely to fail. So if you have a scan error, very likely to fail. Well, that's great. What else did we look at? We looked at other SMART data. For example, reallocation counts, offline reallocation, probational counts, and also scan errors. These things were found to be very strong indicators of failures. Things like 2 to 4 or 5 times more likely to fail if they had the signal, these signals. We also looked at other signals that weren't so strong, such as seek errors, calibration retries, CRC errors, and spin retries. All these weak signals here, they either didn't occur too often for us to generalize, or they just weren't correlated with failures at all. Things that didn't apply to our population, but we also looked at as power cycles. Our disks are not power cycled frequently. We just don't reboot them. Power on hours, they're always on, so this is more of an indication of age than anything else. And vibration, we didn't have external sensors to figure out if the drives vibrate or not. So, okay, so we have 4 good signals that could indicate failures. So now, can we develop models that can predict failures? Well, we tried. We tried really hard and, you know, we couldn't. And here's why we couldn't. So we looked at the population with that failed and then looked in hindsight which ones had the signals, right? And this is the distribution of the signals. That looks promising. Some signals appear very frequently, and we're hoping that if they're stacked up together, at least one signal would be in the failed population. So if we have at least one signal to go with, then we could hope to develop models that predict the failures. But it turns out that out of these strong predictors of failures, less than half of the population, the failed population, had these signals. So over 56% of the drives did not have a strong signal. That means that over half of the population, we don't have anything to go on. So at most, we can predict, you know, half of the failures. So that was a little discouraging. But why does this happen? Here's a little more insight. Graph is truncated there, I'm sorry. The first graph here shows the survival probability. This is a percentage of the population after the first scan error, right? So for so many months here after the first scan error, what percentage of the population is alive? So we see that drives fail quickly after the first scan error, and then they kind of trail off for a while. And after 8 months, over 70% of the drives are still alive. Okay, so if we break this down per month, per age, these lines are not very good here. We see that younger drives kind of fail quickly and then don't fail anymore. And then older drives, aged, you know, 15 to 44 months, they kind of continue to fail. This could be an indication of infant mortality, where the bad drives fail quickly, younger drives fail quickly, and then the older ones start to fail. And the third graph, we break this down per number of scan errors. So So the control population is over here, and this is drives with one scan error, and then drives with two or more scan errors. You can see that, you know, two errors or more also add up to the damage there. But the point here is that 70% of our drives are still alive. So unfortunately, it's hard to predict exactly when they're going to fail. So to conclude, we found four smart variables that are strongly correlated with failures, namely scan errors, reallocation counts, offline reallocations, and probation counts. That's good. Unfortunately, it's hard to come up with predictive models because half of our population, a failed population, didn't have strong signals. And temperature and activity impact are not as large, largely correlated with failures as previously thought. And this is actually a pretty good thing because now we can have a little more leeway when designing data centers, and perhaps, you know, a 5-degree increase in temperature is not that bad after all, right? So enclosure designers, data center designers might have a little bit more freedom to play with numbers. They can experiment larger ranges of temperature. So on behalf of myself and my co-authors, I'd like to thank you for your attention and also a couple of people that helped us along the way. Thank you.
Google's disk infrastructure? That can't be interesting. So how has this affected sort of inventory and replacement policies in terms of keeping around drives or replacing drives prophylactically? Is this something that do you think there's an active conclusion you make from seeing a signal that you should go in and replace a drive?
No. Actually, we haven't taken any action yet, and we are studying a little bit more to figure out, you know, if there are any secondary effects. We need to dig this data a little deeper, but our economic models kind of indicate that we need very good accuracy in order to do anything preemptively, and even then, it might, you know, we still need to adjust our economic models.
I'm Arif Merchant, HP Labs. You sort of talked about it a little bit, but perhaps a little more detail. What rate of false positives would you get if you did use the smart models? I mean, fine, you won't catch all the errors, but how many non-errors would you catch? How many drives would you catch which wouldn't have failed?
So, well, it depends what technique you use, right? What machine learning technique you use. And so we tried some regression analysis, and we got either a very large false positives or just not enough true positives to go with. Right? The numbers vary depending on how aggressive you play and which techniques you use. But we just figured that if we can't predict 50% of them, it's not good for us.
Okay. Thanks.
Brent Welch, Panassus. I think we all have the same question. So how much would it cost you if you replaced every drive that had a scan error? And oh, by the way, these high-capacity drives can remap 1,000 sectors. So the vendor is like, oh, I can take 1,000 bad sectors, and you're using one failure as an indicator, which is a pretty strong statement. It's cool, actually. I think it's great stuff. But so how much would it cost you if you just replaced every drive that had one scan error?
If we did that, it would probably cost our entire business. It's not worthwhile doing this, right? Unfortunately, we were hoping that we could go on, but if we look at drives with only one scan error or one reallocation count or even 10, it doesn't pay to replace it, basically. If we knew it was going to fail with 100% certainty, it still wouldn't pay to replace it if we didn't know exactly when it would fail. So as I said, for 8 months after the first failure, drive still answered requests, so it's better to just let the drive sit there before replacing it.
Rick Farrow, my question has to do again with the smart, because it does seem like an interesting area. What I was wondering, having witness drive failures, it seems like drive failures tend to increase. You have a single drive, and over time it gets worse. Did you actually look at the accumulation of smart errors rather than just the first error, or like say a combination of several errors, like so a graph over time,
right,
where the error is increasing? Or did I simply miss that?
Yeah, we did. This kind of shows that after the first one, it's already pretty bad. After the second one, it gets worse. And we did this for all the errors. And every time you add more, it gets worse and worse.
Okay.
So it
but that was still not a strong enough indication.
No.
Okay.
Hi, Kim Keaton from HP Labs. I wanted to understand more about the utilization data that you presented.
Sure.
Does the data that you have allow you to differentiate between different access patterns, so things that were, you know, predominantly reads versus predominantly writes, predominantly sequential versus predominantly random? And did you see any differences in the different access patterns as to what kinds of errors that they produced?
Yeah, so we looked at average read-write bandwidth. We looked at maximum peaks and, you know, minimums and et cetera. We looked at number of operations, number of short transfers, long transfers, and all the graphs look pretty much like this. Right? There were differences here and there, but nothing that was too obvious for us to go like, wow, this is really interesting. So it was all this mixed
So lots
mixed
of peaks didn't really produce more failures than sort of steady sequential transfers.
We didn't look exactly the number of seeks, but we looked at number of small bytes transferred, for example, that would, you know, approximate the number of seeks. And they're all over the place. There's no way we slice this data show that, you know, yeah, high utilization in some metric was really a dominant effect.
Ying Wen, University of Michigan. Have you checked the types of those failures? Are these like block failure, or this is totally unreadable, or like burning disks, things like that?
That's a good question. No, we did not look at the exact failure. Okay.
Have you checked the types of those failures? What kind of failures, like block failure, or disk is not readable, or is there any like burning disk physical error?
For this study, we did not look at the types of failures. They were just drive replacements because some daemon or some person decided that the drive was bad. We are now collecting this information, the test information, that will tell us exactly what happened to the drive. Was it really bad, or was that just, you know, not working at a given machine? So the answer is no, we didn't look at that.
I guess you tried to answer this through your conclusion. The correlation between those parameters and disk failures still does not seem to be sufficient to predict failures. What is your hypothesis between the fact that there is high correlation but that you cannot use it as a predictor?
Yeah, see, we don't have a very good explanation other than the drives will die more likely, but still they're not going to die very likely, right? They're actually, after the first scan error, a drive is 39 times more likely to fail within 60 days than drives without scan errors. But still, that likelihood doesn't materialize sometimes, and the drive might live for very long after the first scan error. So there are soft failures that the drive will recover, and you know, if we can't guarantee that it's going to be the hard failure is going to happen, then we can't do anything about it.
So in retrospect, then would you say that driving the correlations do not actually benefit a business because you collected a lot of data, but if I cannot use it to make any plans about how I should manage my infrastructure? It's a dead end, right?
Well, maybe not. We've been working with manufacturers to export more of the smart data because they have more stuff inside that they just don't export to us. So if you have better insight inside the black box, then we might be able to do something.
I'm Dominic Giampaolo from Apple. One of the things I wanted to point out that the reason that it's not cost effective for you guys to not replace to replace the drives is because you don't really care about the data because you have so many copies of it. Whereas someone like a consumer who has one copy of the data and that's it, they might be very interested to know that there's a strong likelihood that their drive is going to fail. So it depends on the scenario, really, whether it's cost effective or, you know, do you want a 50% chance that you're going to lose all your kids' pictures or, you know, a 0% chance?
Right. So. Yeah, that's true. That's a very good comment. For us, we have replication, so it doesn't make sense. But for a consumer, yeah, if you see a one scan error, go buy another disk, make a backup, just in case.
Lance Bailey, PMC Sierra. About the temperature, have you given any consideration to the consistency of the temperature as opposed to just what the value of the temperature is? Whereas if it's bouncing around, would that affect the drive failure more than just a nice constant level?
Yeah, we looked at all that. We looked at maximum temperature, averages, short averages just before the failure, and the amount of time spent above a threshold. We also looked at excursions around the threshold. Because the theory is if you cool down and heat up frequently, the material is going to break. And none of that was strongly correlated. Actually, all the graphs looked exactly like the one I presented.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.